Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
We love you guys. It's an awesome, awesome day so far. And you know what's great? We're going to learn this morning what to do with the experience we just had. Sometimes we get to this mountaintop with the Lord and we're like, wow, God, that was amazing. And we, just like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, we want to set up a tabernacle and a temple and be like, let's just stay here. Let's stay right here. And Jesus says, come on, we got to go. Come on, we got to go. Guys, can I just tell you something? There is a day that is coming when we will be able to stay there. His face will no longer be veiled from you, and I will be able to see it. Be no more sun. It'll just be the brightness of his glory. We're going. We're on our way. We're going. We're on our way. We're on our way. But while we are here, there is work to do. So this experience that we just had, I'm going to challenge us this morning because I believe the Lord has given a word. He's given a word that he is moving right now in the church to go beyond that experience and that awe that we have in that moment and make our faith practical. Make the experience that we have with the Lord in this environment practical and real in everyday living. So to get there, do you know that our God is fun? Do you think the devil created fun? No. There's no one more fun than our God. So God, we can experience the holiness of his presence in one moment, and in the next few moments, we can be laughing with the Lord. And I believe that's kind of what he wants us to do right now. So to do so, I'm gonna need a couple of volunteers. Now, what you didn't realize when you came in today is that your seat has been numbered. That is not true, I'm telling a lie. Okay? That is not true. But as we were worshiping this morning and I was back there, I love to worship because it gives us an opportunity to connect with you. You don't realize this, but when we're leading worship, God is highlighting so many of you and we are in agreement with you, interceding for what's going on in your life. And that was one part this morning. The second part was the Lord began to highlight to me who my volunteers would actually be. And I think it's great. So if your last name ends in Fierro and you're wearing a green shirt, I'm gonna ask you to come on down. You know I love you, Mike. You coming? Come on down. Give it up for Mike. If you got a girlfriend named Sarah and your name is Bram, come on down. Give it up for Bram, everybody. Guys, make them feel welcome as they come to the stage. Okay. Come on, guys. We're going to play a little game this morning called Filet-O Feud. I mean, I can get this mustache to stay on. Filet-O Feud, all right? No mustache, okay. One of you on my right, one of you on my left. Just keep the mustache there. Yeah, you can wear it. You can wear it. You don't have any. There we go. All right. Keep your big smiles. Gentlemen, have I talked to you before you came up here today?
No. Not at all.
In fact, how pleased are you to be here today?
Very pleased. But I was looking. I could see. You could see me. Perfect. I'm getting called.
How pleased are you to be up here today?
Very pleased, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for getting it. You know, I can take the jacket off now. Thank you so much for getting it. Filet-O Feud, can you help me? I'm kind of stuck. I think I grew out of this jacket here. Thank you so much. All right, thank you so much. Okay, so, we polled 100 scriptures this morning. We polled 100 scriptures this morning to answer the following question. Can you bring up the question on the screen? What is the best way to demonstrate your love for God? Only three answers today. Top three on the board. We polled 100 scriptures. Best way to demonstrate your love for God. Gentlemen, you have 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
I'm not sure.
What do you got?
Just love him. That's it.
Just love him. Show me. Just love him. And
Can you guys be the buzzer? Okay. All right. Cool. Sorry, Mike. All right. What would you say?
Honor your neighbor.
Honor your neighbor. Can you show me honor your neighbor? Loving. Good job. All right, Mike, we're going back to you. Give us another way.
Ask him again.
Okay, ask Bram again. Okay.
I thought I had 3 seconds. Honor your father and mother.
Show me. Honor your father and mother. Either one of you have any other options? It was a good answer. It was like anything else? Okay, hold on.
Put him first in your life.
Survey says no. Put him first in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, would you give it up for Mr. Fierro and Bram? Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. Don't worry, we don't always ask for volunteers, so if we're looking at you during worship, we're more than likely interceding, you know, and trusting the Lord for what he has for you. But of these, we're going to go through the next two. Go ahead and bring them up there if you don't mind. Genuine praise and worship, intimate prayer. We polled the top three scriptures. We polled 100 scriptures to get the top three answers. Genuine praise and worship, intimate prayer. And now, folks, I want you to be the judge. Which one of those three is the greatest way to demonstrate your love for the Father? If you believe that genuine praise and worship is the greatest way to demonstrate your love for the Father, go ahead and raise your hand for me, please. Woo, 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 worshipers. If you believe that intimate prayer with the Father is the greatest way to demonstrate your love for him, go ahead and raise your hand. Prayers, there you are. If you believe loving your neighbor is the greatest way that you can demonstrate your love for the Father, raise your hand, ladies and gentlemen. Give yourselves a round of applause. It is all three. However, all right, who believes it's all three? Okay, good. Now, one more question. Thank you, Pastor John. Playing along with me this morning, I like it. Which one is the greatest? Survey says. Don't hold back. I love it. What if I told you that searching the scriptures, I agree, all of them. All of them are important. However, there is one that stands out. There is one that Jesus gave us. And ladies and gentlemen, it is love your neighbor. Think about how powerful this is. The experiences we have in worship, the intimacy that the Father lets us experience. Just this morning, I had a dream and a vision. I transitioned from the dream to an actual vision, open vision. I'm like, this is amazing. And yet, the scripture teaches, as Pastor John was teaching us on Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 13, prophecy will fail, tongues will fail. The greatest of these is love. By the way, if you missed Wednesday, it was absolutely amazing. I would say by far one of the best teachings I've ever heard on 1 Corinthians 14. Best teaching I have ever heard. You need to listen. You need to go back and listen. Awesome breakdown. I know it may sound crazy, and I know we may want to believe that those three have to go together, but the truth is, when Jesus was asked by the lawyer, now the lawyer in the scripture is not the same type of lawyer today. The responsibility and role of the lawyer during the time of Jesus was to study the law so that he could effectively teach the law to the people. So he comes to Jesus, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 24 or 27, he says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus himself says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So Kurt, why isn't love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength up there on the board? It actually is. It actually is. Turn with me to Romans, please. Once you get to Romans, check out Romans chapter 13.
And in Romans chapter 13, I want you to go to verse 8, please. And if you get there, just shout out at me and say, I got it. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Let's keep reading. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any, can you underline that? Any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, I can't tell you how heavy this is on my heart right now, because we're a people who cherish the presence of God. That's who we are. And we're supposed to be a people who cherish the presence of God. But how can we cherish the presence of God and be a jerk to our neighbor? We actually don't know God. What are you saying, Kurt? Well, I'm just saying what John the Apostle said. John 4:20, we'll get there. Isn't it amazing? We come in, we experience the presence of God. And more than likely, one of us, a couple of us will meet each other in the parking lot while we're trying to leave, trying to get to lunch. And if you cut me off, what's gonna happen is I'm gonna start to get irritated because I'm hungry. We didn't eat this morning. We're gonna go on that 16-hour fast. I'm hungry. And if you cut me off, I'm gonna be a little hungry. How are we really loving our neighbor? How are we doing it? So we're going to keep going because I'm building a case here. This is Romans, the same author of Romans, penned Galatians. I want to show you how important this is to the Father, because we think, I'm challenging us this morning. You're looking at me saying, yeah, yeah, Kurt, we get it. Move on. And I'm telling you, no, we don't get it. No, we don't get it. We love our prophecy more. We love our intimacy more. And yet our intimacy and our prophecy is fulfilled in the way that we love one another, the brethren, and love the world. It's all fulfilled in that. Guys, yes, we'll get there. It'll be awesome. But there's work to do right now. And it hurts. It hurts when you've worked a 10 and 12 hour day and dads, there's nothing left to give. It hurts, moms, when you've been working round the clock and they're still calling on you, they're still pulling on you, and then your husband, he wants to be remembered too. Always do. Don't forget that husband. He wants to be remembered even after your 23 hour day. Moms, he wants to be remembered. How do we love? How do we do it? See, our faith is actually very practical if we just tap into the truth of the word that God has given us. The reason that we struggle to love one another is not because we lack intimacy with the Lord. It's because we lack intimacy in his word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, O Lord. It is the word that teaches us how to be like Jesus. What did Jesus say to the woman in John chapter 4? You're arguing about where to worship, but I'm telling you that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in spirit and in practice, in practice. Can I just have us encapsulate what we experienced over the last hour? And I want you to think about, what does it mean to take a throne room experience and go out into my car with my family, my home, my neighborhood? What does it actually look like? I'm building a case here. Let's go to Galatians, please, chapter 5. Same author. We know that Paul is responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament, from Romans to Philemon. Just to throw another one out here, you know, the brother of Jesus, he says, pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Listen, the Lord cares about how you're practically loving. The true test of our faith
is not in those alone times in the Lord, with the Lord in our bedroom or in the fullness of the experience here. The true test of our faith is how we love another. That's biblical. That's Bible. Galatians. Let me get there. Chapter 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty, that's freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. You need to mark that up and make it speak in your Bible. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Watch this, 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Where do wars come from? How are we talking about each other when nobody else is around? Are we guarding our lips? Who can tame the tongue? That's what James says. It's an unruly force, and it sets on fire a whole forest by the flames of hell. How are we talking about people when they're not present? Because what we're actually doing, can I tell you something? How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we choose to speak ill of somebody, we are building faith on that perspective about that person. Can you catch that there? You are building up the evil in your mind and in your heart about that person because you're speaking it, I'm speaking it out loud, and it's building faith in me. I'm never going to be able to see them differently if that is what I'm choosing to say. How do we love our neighbor? I know we're kind of still feeling like we get it, move on. And I'm here to say again, no, we don't. Lord, help us. No, we don't. We actually do not fully know how to love our neighbor. And can I just tell you, that's where you begin. See, everything that's needed for life and godliness, this is what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been provided to you. It's access to the divine nature. And how do you access it? Through the Spirit of the living God. It's been given to you. When you were born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit of God, you were equipped with everything that you needed for life and godliness. And to boot, we have the Word of God to teach us. Amen. All right, we're going to take, I know this is not really a Bible study, it's a Sunday service, but the Lord just, he had me going after some things. So if you're okay, we're going to use our Bible. I don't care if you use a digital Bible. We're going to read some scripture this morning. Can you roll with me, please? Hebrews chapter 13, please. You're going to turn to the right if you're in Galatians. Hebrews chapter 13. Okay, so we're starting to pick up some steam here. We're starting to get it. But let's ask this next question. What does it look like? What does it look like to love my neighbor? Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. What is the writer here saying? Let brotherly love continue. Where does that begin? Right here in the household of God. The writer can make a distinction between brotherly love, which would apply to the body of Christ, and the world, our neighbor. It starts with the way we love one another. There's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. It starts with the way we love one another. When we're backbiting and devouring one another, we are not walking the way that the Father wants us to walk, and we can't, oh man, okay, I'm sorry, we gotta go to one more scripture here, I'm sorry. You're in Hebrews, so you're close. I'm gonna show you, because you're gonna about to think I'm crazy. You're gonna be like, come on, come on. James 4:20. Let's go.
No, there's no James 4:20. What am I saying? 1 John. I said it earlier. 1 John, sorry. Keep turning to the right. You guys look though, huh? How many of you are gonna tell me? How many of you love me enough you're gonna tell me? Kurt, you're an idiot. No, just kidding. 1 John 4:20. Guys, unless we're confronted by these scriptures, we won't change. That's how I'm standing here professing these truths today, because I had to change. And I'm in the process of being changed and made more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. But the Lord confronted me with his word. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Yeah, exactly. Wow. You know, man, I was having these amazing intimate times with the Lord, and it was so powerful. I'm talking like, you know, you ever have those moments where you can close your eyes and be in the presence of God? Anybody ever experienced that? And then I hate when somebody disrupts that. Ugh. Oh, man, don't you just realize what I was doing? Where's the love? Is that the Father? Is that a true test of the intimacy? See, we don't even have to go outside of like just a few moments after. We can go right to that moment and that gets interrupted. What comes out of us? It's okay to be confronted by this, guys, because that's how we grow. What does the writer say in Ephesians chapter 4? That the gifts have been given to the body for the equipping of the saints. Why? So that we might come to full maturity, not lacking anything, and speaking the truth in love, we may grow up to all things. The only way to mature is not just to speak the truth, because you can Bible thump the truth. The way to mature is to speak the truth in love. And that's how the Father teaches us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? That should cause you to shudder. That should cause us to be like, oh my goodness, I gotta turn to my neighbor right now and repent. Somebody in the room. Or in the car. When you're driving home, listen, we're not perfect, right? We're not going to be perfect at this, but the Lord desires that we grow. The Lord desires. So let's be confronted this morning. Let's do it. Let's let the word confront us so we can grow up and mature. Can I get an amen? Oh my gosh. He's so good. He does it. This is where the Lord really caused me to pause, because I would have an intimate experience with the Lord, or I have a transformational experience here at the altar, and then I could just feel the seething hate rising up in my heart when offense took place. And the thing about offense is it always justifies. You're right to have that offense. They did this to you. And yet, if we read 1 Peter 2:23, Jesus, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten with violence, but he committed himself to God, who judges all righteously. So the goal is to keep walking out the love of the Father as the true and purest demonstration that we belong to him. How will the world know that we belong to God? You tell me, what did Jesus say? By the way, we love one another. Guys, this isn't just some word we just need to get past so we can move on to higher spiritual things. This is it. This is it. All of it. All of it. It's it. Why? Because that's eternity. With the brethren, for eternity. We might as well learn to love now. We might as well learn to overlook an offense now, because it is the glory of one to conceal a matter and to overlook an offense. Does that mean that we don't confront? Absolutely not. If you actually love your neighbor enough, you will bring healthy, godly confrontation to them. In the Galatians, Paul says, hey, I was hanging out with the Gentiles and Peter showed up. And Peter's over there and he was eating with the Gentiles until some of the Jews came. And then Peter started to play the hypocrite. So I decided I'm gonna withstand Peter to his face and say, bro, you're acting a fool playing a hypocrite. This is the pillar. How many people believe that Peter was the pillar of the early church? Paul says in Galatians, I confronted him. Now, you have kind of juxtapose. When do I confront? When do I overlook? When do I confront a matter? When do I overlook a matter? What you see Jesus confronting, because Jesus is the model example for all leadership, what you see Jesus confronting is anything that would cause other people to go astray. Anything that would lead others to a path of death, that is what Jesus confronts. But when you are reviled, you commit it to the Lord. It's hard. It doesn't mean that among brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it doesn't mean that among brethren we can't settle our disputes with one another. In fact, that's actually how we grow, is to learn to bring healthy confrontation to one another. What did Jesus say, Matthew 18? If your brother sins against you, you need to go and tell him his fault to his face. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. What's the goal, guys? Gain your brother. Why? Because it's an eternal relationship. It's eternity. If your brother doesn't hear you, what does Jesus say? Take another. Take two or three with you, Matthew 18. If your brother or sister still won't hear you, tell it to the church, which nobody wants to really do. We're all like, can we just stop at level two? Really, really, what would be great is if we stopped at level one. When our brother or sister lovingly confronts us, we had a sister over the house on Thursday night, and she was, I mean, we've known her whole life. She was a kid, we had her in the youth group, and she's a woman now, and she was at our house. And we could tell that there was something that she needed to share with us. And she looked us square in the eyes, with tears in her eyes. And she lovingly confronted us and pointed out our fault. And guess what? She was right. She was right. And you know what? You know what we wanted to do? No, you're right. You're right. Let's not try to excuse away what we did. I'm going to take responsibility. I wronged you, and I'm sorry. What was the goal, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18? To gain the brother or sister. We regained that relationship. That's the goal. So she doesn't need to go and tell everybody else. Because we listened. Father, may we have ears to hear. May we have ears to hear. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews, turn back to the left. So the question is, what does it look like? What does it actually look like to love my neighbor? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Can I just show you? You need to underline some of the distinctions here. Brotherly love, brethren, applies to the community of God. Strangers applies to the world. What does he say? Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. How'd you like that to be your story? How'd you like to miss it and let that be your story? Lord, I'm sorry I walked by that disgusting person right there. Oh, that was an angel in disguise. I wanted to see if you've gained my heart yet. Let us not forget to entertain strangers. Remember the prisoners. Guys, we're saying, what does it actually look like? And as I was joking earlier, playing Steve Harvey on Filet-O food, I was saying we surveyed 100 scriptures. And I'm telling you, read it. Genesis to Revelation. What does the scripture teach? The greatest commandment is actually summed up and fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor. Even how we love God? Absolutely. The truest test of our love and affection for the Lord is the way that we love one another and our neighbor. Remember the prisoners. This is what it looks like. The brethren, the strangers, the prisoners. As if chained with them, those who are mistreated. There's another category, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage, here's another thing to consider, is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. Let's keep moving here. That's great teaching there, but I want to just keep moving. Verse 7, here's another category. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith you follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Remember those who rule over you. Remember those who rule over you. Yes, the ones who are teaching the word, but how about in some of Paul's letters, he talks about your employers. He talks about if you're a slave, if you're in a servitude, if you're working for somebody and they're the master, don't pay them lip service. Work diligently as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Why? Because from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. That's Colossians chapter 3. Work diligently. Man, I'm so grateful for one of my brothers in this church. He decided to take a couple of pastors and give us some extra work. And when I've been working for him, I am trying so hard to work my tail off, because I want to bring honor to his company. He's my brother in Christ. I have some other friends who have allowed me to come and work on their property, and I'm working my tail off because I want to bring honor to them as friends in Christ. But when I worked for CVS, did I act the same way? Not really. Should I have? Everybody say yes. The answer is yes. My gosh, guys. Yes. God cares about how you're conducting yourself at your job. It is God who exalts. Likewise, humble yourself. God will bring exaltation at the right time. All right, so let's take a look at another part of, I want you to see this. Now jump down to verse 13 for me, please, okay? Same chapter, verse 13. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp. No, that's not what I want to look at. Hang on, I just wrote it down wrong. Don't worry, be patient, guys, it's okay. Thank you, I appreciate that vote of confidence. That's okay, doesn't matter. Remember those who rule over you. We're getting the picture here. Proverbs 3. We're just going to search some scriptures here. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 27. If you're there, just shout at me. This is one that my wife and I have really had to learn to live. How many of you are always, always ready to do good and share? I love it. That's actually the scripture I was looking for. God, you're so funny. Remember to do good and share, for with these sacrifices, the Lord is well pleased. Was that verse 17? Where was that verse? We're going to find it before the day's out. Remember to do good and share. Use your Google right now. Remember to do good and share, for with these sacrifices, the Lord is well pleased. I'm telling you, it's a scripture. You'll find it in Hebrews. Google it right now, okay? Verse 16. Okay, we were supposed to read that. I must have been reading the wrong chapter. Let's go. Proverbs 3:27. I want you to see this. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do so. Don't say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it, when you have it with you today. Today. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do it. Am I belaboring?
Yes.
Yes, I am. And I'm doing it on purpose because the body of Christ has to be shaken and we have to be awakened. We want the supernatural experience, but we don't want to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't. It's hard. Who's my neighbor, Kurt? Ask Jesus. When the lawyer came to Jesus and said, okay, who's my neighbor? Jesus says, I'm going to tell you a story, all right? You like stories? I'm going to tell you a story. And he tells a story about a Samaritan. Now, we're Americans, and unless you do your research, you don't really know. The Samaritans were a despised, hated breed. The Jews didn't really care for the Samaritans. They were half-breeds. Ew. Half-breeds. Which is why in John chapter 4, Jesus, when he's talking to the woman at the well, she's like, how are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Half-breeds. Half-breeds. Two people the Jews couldn't stand. Tax collectors, because they sold out their people. And the Samaritans, because they were half-breeds. So Jesus looks at the one who should know all the law. He looks at the lawyer, and he says, I'm going to tell you a story about a Samaritan. And the Samaritan, not the priest and not the Levite, was the only one who did the good work to the man who was beaten on the side of the ground. And he says, okay, Mr. Lawyer Man, who's your neighbor? What do you do? He says, I guess I should be like the Samaritan. Sometimes the world has a better understanding of the love of our God than we do. We are so tightly wound. We think we have arrived because we're followers of Jesus. And we have forgotten that the greatest king of all left his throne, humbled himself, and took on skin, took on the form of a bondservant so he could be obedient to the Father. And that's the calling he's given us. Who is my neighbor? Very clearly, anyone who's not you, including your enemy. My neighbor is anyone who is not me, including my enemy. That's Luke chapter 10, verses 25, if you want to check out that story of the Good Samaritan. Now, as we wind things down this morning, I do want to show you that passage in Hebrews because this hit me on one of those days that I'm having like a supernatural experience. I'm like, wow, God, you're awesome. You're showing me some amazing things in the heavenlies. I actually stumbled upon this chapter and verse, and it struck me. All right. Verse 16. Are you in Hebrews 13, 16? But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Again, you're like, yeah, we get it. No, do good and share. Do you know what the whole of the gospel is? Peter records the whole of the gospel in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what should we be doing? Going out and doing good and helping to heal all who are oppressed by the devil. That's our call, guys. So who's my neighbor? What does love look like? And finally, where we're going to land right now is, what if I can't love? What if I actually just can't bring myself to do it? What if I have that seething anger of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment? It's a great place to start. Because I want to tell you today, you actually can. You actually can love that person that you believe is so evil. You actually can, but not on your own. It's got to be the Lord. The only thing you can do is confess and acknowledge before the Lord, I don't know how to love this person. Show me them the way you see them. I don't know how to love them. And God is so faithful. With repentance, he'll give you a picture of how he sees them. And then when you get his picture on that person, now compassion begins to grow in your heart and you begin to love the way the Father wants you to love. It's actually okay to say, I cannot love this person. I don't know how. Bring that to the Lord. Acknowledge it before the Lord. Say, God, I'm stuck. Your word is telling me that I have to love my enemy, and I'm telling you I don't know how. I'm going to tell you how the Lord taught me this lesson. Now, I have been priding myself for years on how well I love other people. Seriously. I feel like I'm just confession time. It's always confession time when I get up here. I've been priding myself for years on how well I love people. And then the Lord brought this dog into my life. And I loved the dog. Kids, hang in there with me. Hang in there. We're going to be all right. I loved the dog, but we went through a very difficult season of our life, and my heart turned towards the dog because I believe she was part of the problem, and I hated the dog. Hated the dog. Then God starts to work miraculously in our life, and all that was lost once gets restored now, and great things are happening. But one thing didn't change, my hatred for the dog. God did a bunch of things in our life, and I'm like, but God, you're cool. You know what? I don't have to love the dog. This is me. I'm going to be frank with you. I don't have to love the dog, God. You said love my neighbor as myself, so I'm just going to keep loving my neighbor. And God, I'm doing such a good job. Like, I really am. Like, I'm so proud of the way I love people. The Lord's like, you need to love your dog. And I'm like, no, I actually don't. I'm not going to get an argument with God unless I know I'm going to win. And I'm pretty confident I'm going to win this one. I'm like, serious. I'm confident. And the Lord says, you need to love your dog, and I'm going to teach you how. And I'm saying, I don't have to love this dog. And he says, the righteous man. You want to be righteous, Kurt? I said, God, you know I'm righteous. The righteous man is kind to his animal. That's a proverb. I was like, man, why'd you have to throw the scripture at me, God? Why are you going to use the scripture? You know I can't help but cower at the scripture, man. Why are you going to do that? Now I'm mad. I'm like, all right, fine, you got me. But I don't know how to love this dog. I don't want to love this dog, God. I don't want to. But you know, God said, there's another thing. He is the one who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. So he's like, I'm going to help you love this dog. I'm like, God, you don't know what this dog has done to our family. And he said, you don't know what this dog has done for your family. Yes, I know. The heck, God, why are you going to be like that? All right. So the kids know and my wife knows. It's been a grueling process because I'm over here proud and arrogant at my ability to love even the hardest of people. And God says that love is good, but I want more. If my heart is really going to be in you, I created every creeping thing that crawls on the earth. And I want you to love at the lowest of lows. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, he who has done to the least of these, he who has done to the least of these, my brethren, has done unto me. I think I'm so good that I'm going to be able to love even the hardest of people, and I can't love the creature that he created. No, the love of the Father still needs to be birthed in me. The love of the Father, I still need more of it. And I'm here to tell you today, praise God, I had an opportunity to practice over the weekend, and I failed, but I'm telling you the truth. I failed and I repented because I remember the enemy will always try to see if you really believe you have what you have. And I've been going around saying, my heart has changed towards this dog. I love this dog. I love this dog. I used to fake it. Yes, I love you. I love you, Garden. No. Now I'm like, I love this dog. This dog is great, man. You're so awesome. Thanks for being here. We love you. And then this weekend, she did something she wasn't supposed to do, and I got mad, and I failed. But I said, Lord, you know what? I actually do have a new heart towards this dog, and I'm not going to let that go. Forgive me. And my son, Noah, he is the justest man in the house, and he says, you're really sorry, Dad? You go and tell the dog you're sorry.
Elfie, who loves you? I'm sorry.
Now kiss her. Thank you, Noah, for holding the line of justice in our household. Our God is good, isn't he? Isn't it good to be challenged? Isn't it good to be confronted by the word? It's good. It's a good thing. Stand to your feet. We're going to give God some praise today. We're going to allow the Lord to continue confronting us with the truth of his word. And I'll tell you what, if you got some people that the Lord is putting on your heart, start asking the Lord to show you how, okay? When that person comes up in your mind and you're filled with anger and hatred, it's actually okay. You're gonna stand. We have 5 minutes. I'm gonna tell you something. Please don't leave, because this is just as critical. Whenever wickedness comes out of my heart now, I thank the Lord. Whenever wickedness comes out of my heart, I thank the Lord, because Jesus said, it's not what goes into the body that defiles a man, it's what comes out of the heart that defiles him. So when I see something evil and wicked come out of my heart, it actually is an indicator that my heart is still not right before the Lord, and I need some help from the Father. Because if not, I get really, really proud, as you now well know, and I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay. But then something pokes me or prods me, and I begin to realize I'm not as actually close to the Father as I think I am. More of his love has to be birthed in me. So when that wickedness comes out, I'm like, wow. When I come to my senses, I'm like, thank you, God, for revealing that. There's wickedness still in my heart. I don't know what to do with it, but you said you're the one who works in me both to will and do your good pleasure. So transform my heart. David said, search my heart, O God. See if there's any wicked way inside of me. Test me, O God, and find out my anxious thoughts, and then lead me in the way everlasting. So when God reveals some brokenness in my heart, I'm not gonna fight it. I'm like, you know what, Lord? You're right. That wickedness is still there. Purify me, cleanse me, teach me. So if you find that evil and anger and wrath and hatred is coming out of your heart when you think about a particular person or a group of people, thank the Lord for revealing it. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this wickedness in my heart. Now teach me how to love. It's not easy. Teach me how to love. Throw your hands up to heaven this morning, right now. Father in heaven, we are so desperate for you, it's not even funny. To say we're desperate is an understatement to our absolute need for you. We can do nothing apart from you, Father. Nothing. We can't do anything apart from you. We are absolutely, positively desperate to know you and allow you to work in our lives. Just begin to cry out with your own heart, Lord, I need you. I need you to show me. Just begin to open your own mouth. Just begin. Open, open, open. Down if you need to. Father in heaven, we ask you this morning that you would teach us how to love. It's very interesting to me that of all the amazing revelations in the scripture, of everything that Jesus did to pay for our salvation, that you have summed up the whole law in one word, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, I'm going to boldly confess that we actually don't know how. And sometimes it's really, really hard because we're at the end of ourselves. But as Paul said, your strength is perfected in our weakness. So even in that weakest moment when I don't know how to love, I will push into the Spirit of God and I will ask you to show me how to love that person. Because that's the call. That's the call. That's the answer. There's nothing greater. Lord, we magnify your holy name and we exalt you. What have you got?
I need you. You need me.
Yes.
To your enemy and
you
go and love like Jesus. Have a great day and a great week. God bless you guys.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.